What are you thankful for? Think about it for a moment. What are you thankful for? That can be sometimes a tricky question, but can also be pretty easy. Here's another question, very similar to it, but perhaps more important. What should you be thankful for? We don't tend to like the word should, but it is very important for us. That part of us that doesn't like the word should is not necessarily the best part of us. But there are some things that we should be thankful for. In our story in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field on the Sabbath. And as they walk by, they pluck bits of grain. Now, just so you know, they're not stealing. It is Jewish law that people who are sojourners or temporary travelers, people who aren't going to be here for very long but are living here for now, are considered poor and in need and therefore are allowed to pick the leftovers of a crop or the corners of a field. Jesus was sojourning in our midst. He was not going to be there for long. But the Pharisees came to him, and they're upset because they're doing it on the Sabbath, and they're doing work. Now, we might hear about the law from Deuteronomy that we're supposed to leave the leftovers of a harvest, and that those leftovers are for the poor and those who can't work. But the way the actual ancient law worked was, you left the leftovers in the field so that the poor could work. They would come into the fields, and they would do the work of gleaning, of gathering up the leftovers of the crops. It was work that only they were supposed to be doing, so that everyone, even the lowest in our society, had something useful to do. And from that use could gain something good, food to eat, a living. So the Pharisees are upset that Jesus and his disciples are doing work on the Sabbath. And the Lord replies by comparing himself to David. He points out that when David was on the run from Saul, he and his men, they came into the house of the Lord. And there was the offering showbread, the bread that is put before the Holy of Holies, right in front of the curtain before the ark. No one's supposed to eat it except for the high priest. It's a ritual, important bread. It's the kind of thing that people were afraid of being struck down dead if you touched. Yet David took the bread, ate it, and gave it to his men. And not only was David not punished, but David ends up being blessed. David ends up being the king which all other kings are compared to. David broke a law, but it was an exception. The Lord is telling the Pharisees that he too is an exception to the law. But he brings it one step further. He says to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Why did you come to church today? It's a national holiday. In fact, when the government instituted the holiday, they even told people to go to church, to thank God for the blessings that he has given our nation. That might be why you're coming to church, because your country said you should. Or maybe you're coming to church because your parents or a relative said you should. Or maybe you have an innate sense that Thanksgiving is a day you go to church. You can go to church to worship the Lord. And church is the Sabbath. When you come to church, you are coming to the Lord's house. And this is an opportunity to have a day of rest. We'll have a huge meal. We'll celebrate with our friends and family. And most of us, except for perhaps the cooks and the cleanup, won't do much labor. It's a day of rest. Why does the Lord want us to come to church? The Lord wants you to come to church, and the Lord wants you to have a day of rest. The Lord wants you to have the Sabbath for your own good. You need a day of rest. Something that we in America may not be aware of is that for most of human history, almost all of it, and this is still true for most of the planet, there are no weekends. People work every day. They work Saturday and Sunday. They work Monday through Friday. They do not rest. That is the natural state of man. But we in America have been given this amazing thing called a weekend. And on it, on Saturday and Sunday, most people don't work. And they take it for granted most of the time. Not only do they take it for granted, they feel entitled to it, like it's theirs. If a boss asks someone to come in on Saturday to work extra and doesn't even offer them overtime, the employee feels like something's been stolen from them. It's not fair. If you need to work on a Sunday, you might think, this isn't fair, I'm supposed to be resting. Well, who gave you that day of rest? Where does that commandment come from? Where does the cultural tradition of having any kind of day of rest come from? It comes from the Lord. Even naturally and in history, it comes from the Lord. That's where we get that tradition. The Lord gave us the Sabbath because we need it. But we also are given the Sabbath so that we may know the true meaning of life. We work. We work many days, and we work long and hard. And it is easy to get caught up in our work, to think that our work is how we do good. And it is. We do good through our work. Or rather, the Lord does good through us, through our work. But to what end? The work itself is merely a means to an end. And that end is heaven. That end is joy and peace for ourselves and for all those around us. We are taught in true Christian religion that in the highest sense, the Sabbath means heavenly peace. It means the kind of peace that people experience in heaven. But we cannot truly know what this peace is. We can only gather it from analogy. But know this, it's not the peace that just is given to you. It's the peace that you work for. It's not the peace because you never had an enemy. It's the peace that comes from defeating your enemies in war. It isn't the peace from never having a job. It's the peace that comes after hard labor. It isn't the peace that comes from never having children. It's the peace that comes from the delight that children give. And it is not the peace of never having storms, or poverty, or hardship. It is the peace that comes from overcoming such things. We are taught elsewhere in the heavenly doctrine that the Lord left enemies in the land of Canaan. We're also taught by the Lord while he was on earth that we shall always have the poor, and you may always do well by them. We're also taught that the natural world will always have storms, will always have typhoons and hurricanes, the natural world will always be imperfect and will always cause trouble. Every day, a new generation is brought up that may choose evil, and that too could always lead to war. Our job, our opportunity, our invitation from the Lord is to confront the hardship and at times the evil of the world and do good by it. The Lord, in His divine providence, is always working continuously and constantly to turn any evil to good. If we join in the Lord in that work, we are in that stream of divine providence. But we can only do it if we obey His commandments. It's easy to see why, if you're a murderous, thieving, dishonest cheater, you can't do good in the world. But the Lord says that we should obey all His commandments, including keeping the Sabbath. But be sure to know what that means. Keeping the Sabbath is making sure that you know what the end of creation is, that it is a heaven for the human race, that you need times of rest. You need to put a place in your life where you may be reminded of the Lord so that you don't get caught up in the world and forget the true meaning of life. To love the neighbor, to follow the Lord's commandments, to love the Lord, and to become an angel. What should we be thankful for? It's easy to be thankful for all the wonderful blessings you have in your life. But one of the things that we should be most thankful for is the opportunity to work. The opportunity to fight evil, to reduce hardship, to shun evils as sins, and therefore the opportunity to be freely disciples of the Lord. Amen.